Good morning, everyone. I want to start off today reading you one of my favorite Proverbs, and it's at Proverbs 30. Starting in verse 8, Proverbs 30, starting in verse 8. Says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and profane the name of my God. Now, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. To be more exact, the part about not having too little or too much. And not that either of these are evil unto themselves, but the request here is asking in accordance with God and with God's will that we would be put in the best situation for our own personal condition. And to be put in the best place for us to be able to serve God. Asking God to only give me what is proper and suitable for me and for the conditions and circumstances I find myself living in at that time. And again, like I said, in the best position for me to be able to serve God. Or else I could forget about God, as the proverb says, and profane His name. Now, for years, I've had this idea for a house I wanted to build. And I had it planned out. I could almost visualize every room. And if somebody were to come up to me today, this is just something I've realized over the last few months, and they were going to hand me the money to build this house, I wouldn't do it now. Just over the last few months, I just began to realize I don't want it. It's almost too much. You know, I'm beginning to understand that the more that we have, you know, the more effort and time goes into taking care of what we have. And that doesn't leave a lot of time for doing other things. And that's where the proverb is saying that if you've got too, now I don't want to sound like we have too much or that we have too little. We don't have a lot, but I just feel at times like what we have is too much because we spend so much time working on it and thinking about it that it just doesn't seem to leave much time for anything else. I'm having trouble keeping up with the house we're in. You know, it's always one project after another, and I'm always behind. You know, I'm working on this one, and there's still two or three more down the road that's got to be done. And I'm constantly running behind. And I'm just beginning to realize that the more that I have, the more of my time it takes up. And then, if you throw in television time or time on the internet, and again, neither of these two things are evil unto themselves, except at the point that it begins to distract you from the more important things in life, such as your prayer and your study life, or your relationship with God. And I'm beginning to see the world around me as just one giant distraction. And the more I get distracted, the less time I realize I have for prayer and study. And that damages your relationship with God. Now, I think most of you know that as a family, my family, we love Panama City Beach. We'll go there every year if they let us. And the one thing you learn at the beach is if those red flags are flying, you stay out of the water. Because that usually means there's a strong riptide. If you're not familiar with a riptide, it's a strong current of water that is going from the beach back out to the sea. And if you get caught in it, you can struggle and swim towards shore all you want, but you're just going to find yourself getting further away. It's almost like a little river flowing the opposite direction. And if you get stuck in it and you don't get out quick, you know, they may never see you again. And this is kind of how I see the distractions around me now, is that if you're not careful, you can get caught up in a constant flow of these distractions and it'll pull you right away from where you need to be and what you need to be doing. You know, where I work, I think most of you know I work at a prison. Where it sits is kind of on a hill, kind of below a hill, but then there's a big valley, and we constantly have wind blowing through. The flag is constantly moving. There's always air coming through, and sometimes the winds can get pretty gusty. And one night here a few months back, we were having some pretty strong, sustained winds, and every night one of the officers has to do a visual fence check, walk the entire mile fence. And this night it happened to be a woman who weighs probably more than 110 pounds. And she was literally walking like this in the wind. She could not stand up, because if she did, it just would push her backwards. And I thought about that then, because I was thinking, well, that's kind of how I feel about life. It seems you got to buckle down and drive forward just to get done the things you want to do, because if you stand up and get caught up on what's going on around you, it's just going to blow you backwards. It takes a lot of work. Life demands so much from us that it wants to pull you away from the more important things of prayer and study. And we live in a world now like never before. You know, there's so many different things that are biting for our time. As I mentioned, we have TV and the internet, video games, cell phone, Facebook, Twitter, and on it goes. And again, none of these are bad either. Only to the point where it depends on how much time you're putting into it and how much time you're devoting to that and what else it might be pulling you from. I mean, I know people who would work 7 days a week, double shifts every day if they could do it. They just constantly want to move, constantly want to be doing something, but they really don't have time for anything else. Now, I don't want anybody here to think that I'm saying that you should go home and cut off your cable or you know, cut off your internet, unless you believe that it's interfering with your spiritual life somehow. Let me read something. I'm going to read out of Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 43. Mark 9:43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into eternal life maimed rather than having two hands to go into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 45. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter eternal life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 47 says, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes and to be cast into hellfire. Now, we know we're not being told to literally cut off an arm, a hand, a foot, or gouge out an eye. But what is being said is that sometimes we may need to do something that appears or seems to be drastic or extreme in order to protect our spiritual life. And I'll give you an example of that. I use the internet for a lot of different things. I communicate through emails. I pay all my bills online. I do some work for the church online. Even my job requires me now to spend so much time online every year. But if I were to get caught up in one of the many addictive type behaviors that are on the internet to the point where I couldn't control myself anymore, and I was spending so much, what was it, Farmville on Facebook at one time. People were spending hours and hours and hours and hours playing this Farmville game on. But if you find yourself stuck in something like that and you realize that it's taking you away from more important things, you might need to do what seems extreme. And, you know, in other words, you may have to cut something off. It might have to be my internet. And I would have to find another way to get done the things that I do. It may be harder, but if the other is distracting me and keeping me from doing what I should do, then I may have to cut something off. Let's take a look in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read through 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, and that will not be taken from her." Now Martha here, she was busy, and she was doing things that she thought needed to be done. There was people in her home she needed to serve. There was a lot that needed to be done, but she was missing the bigger picture. She was missing the opportunity to be taught by Jesus Christ himself. She was missing the chance to hear God's words directly to her. And if we become distracted by the things that we feel like we want to do or that we feel like we need to do, to the point where we are missing out on, again, Bible study time and prayer time, you know, we're going to miss out. We're going to lose out on some things. And we need to concentrate on what Mary did, on the better things, on that better part. If you would, one more, just flip ahead a few chapters, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, I'm going to start in verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now that's a place we want to be. We want to be sitting at that table with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Verse 16, then he said to them, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to be excused.' And another said, 'I have brought five yoke and oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have my knee excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became very angry. These people were all distracted by the cares of this world, by the things that they had. And it didn't put them in a very good place, because verse 24 says, 'For I say to you that none of those who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Now that is definitely a place we don't want to be. We don't want to miss out on that because we get distracted by other things. And if we allow ourselves to be carried away in that flow of distractions, we are going to lose out. Life is busy. Like I said, we live in a time now like never before. We live in a time where there is just so much of everything. You know, the only thing that seems to be lacking is enough time to do the things that we need to do. Brethren, we need to make the best possible use of our time. And we need to find that proper balance of just enough and not too little and not too much. And like Mary's sister Martha did, we need to choose the better part. We need to choose the better things. And that is our relationship with God must come first. Have a great Sabbath.